Sir Winston Churchill once said that true genius resides in the capacity for evaluation of uncertain, hazardous, and conflicting information.
Yet it is a peculiarity of the wildfire team that despite the individual brilliance of team members, the group grossly misjudged their information at several points. The team had a blind spot, which Stone later expressed this way. We were problem-oriented. Everything we did, we thought and directed toward finding a solution, a cure to Andromeda. And of course, we were fixed on the events that had occurred at Piedmont. Oh, he felt that if we didn't find a solution, no solution would be forthcoming, and the whole world would ultimately wind up like Piedmont. We're very slow to think otherwise. Their error began to take on major proportions with the cultures. Stone and Leavitt had taken thousands of cultures from the original capsule. These had been incubated in a wide variety of atmospheric, temperature, and pressure conditions. The results of this could only be analyzed by computer. When Stone and Leavitt went to examine the results, they found several striking trends. Their first conclusion was that growth media did not matter at all. The organism grew equally well on sugar, blood, chocolate, plain agar, or sheer glass. However, the gases in which the plates were incubated were crucial, as was the light. Ultraviolet light stimulated growth under all circumstances. Total darkness and, to a lesser extent, infrared light inhibited growth. Oxygen inhibited growth in all circumstances, but carbon dioxide stimulated growth. Nitrogen had no effect. Thus, best growth was achieved in 100% carbon dioxide lighted by ultraviolet radiation. Poorest growth occurred in pure oxygen incubated in total darkness.
What do you make of it? Stone said. It looks like a pure conversion system, Leavitt said.
I wonder, Stone said.
He punched through the coordinates of a closed growth system.
Closed growth systems studied bacterial metabolism by measuring intake of gases and nutrients in output of waste products. They were completely sealed and self-contained. A plant in such a system, for example, would consume carbon dioxide and give off water and oxygen. But when they looked at the Andromeda strain, they found something remarkable. The organism had no excretions. If incubated with a carbon dioxide and ultraviolet light, it grew steadily until all carbon dioxide had been consumed. Then growth stopped. There was no excretion of any kind of gas or waste product at all. No waste.
Clearly efficient, Stone said.
You'd expect that, Leavitt said.
This was an organism highly suited to its environment. It consumed everything, wasted nothing. It was perfect for the barren existence of space. Stone thought about this for a moment, and then it hit him. It hit Leavitt at the same time.
Good Christ!
Leavitt was already reaching for the phone.
Get Robertson, he said. Get him immediately.
The screen came to life. They saw Robertson, looking tired, smoking a cigarette.
Jeremy, you gotta give me time. I haven't been able to get through to...
Listen, Stone said. I want you to make sure Directive 712 is not carried out.
It is imperative. No atomic device must be detonated around the organisms. That's the last thing in the world, literally, that we want to do. He explained briefly what they had found.
Robertson whistled.
We just provide a fantastically rich growth medium.
That's right, Stone said. If you had an organism that was capable of directly converting energy to matter, and if you provided it with a huge, rich source of energy, like an atomic blast.
Robertson was scratching his head.
I got some more data on the Phantom crash. It was over the area west of Piedmont at 23,000 feet. The post team has found evidence of the disintegration the pilot spoke of, but the material that was destroyed was a plastic of some kind. It was depolymerized.
What does the post team make of that? Stone said.
They don't know what the hell to make of it, Robertson admitted. And there's something else. They found a few pieces of bone that have been identified as human, a bit of humerus and tibia, notable because they are clean, almost polished.
Flesh burned away, Stone asked.
It doesn't look that way.
Stone frowned at Leavitt.
What does it look like?
It looks like clean, polished bone. They say it's weird as hell. And there's something else. We checked into the National Guard around Piedmont, the 112th station in a 100-mile radius, and it turns out they've been running patrols into the area for a distance of 50 miles. They've had as many as 100 men west of Piedmont. No deaths.
Stone said, I think we better check our cultured organisms for biologic potency.
Run some of them against a rat? Levitt asked.
Stone nodded. Make sure it's still virulent, still the same. As they were about to start, the level 5 monitor clicked on and said, Dr. Levitt. Levitt answered. On the computer screen was a pleasant young man in a white lab coat.
Yes?
Dr. Levitt, we have gotten our electroencephalograms back from the computer center. Yours were read as grade 4, atypical, probably benign, but we'd like to run another set.
I'm rather busy now, Levitt said.
Stone broke in, talking directly to the technician. Dr. Levitt will get a repeat EEG when he has the chance. Very good, sir, the technician said. When the screen was blank, Stone said, There are times when this damn routine gets on everybody's nerves.